Lord, I pray that you just bless your word now. Lord, overshadow me in my weakness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. I'll just spend some time with the Lord today in Hebrews. Again, he's had me there a lot. Hebrews chapter 6. I like how it starts off, therefore leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity. So there's always a pressing on to maturity in our walk with the Lord. And to do that, sometimes we've just got to leave some things behind, right? If you're going to press on, you got to let some things go, as we hear all the time, because some things you just can't take with you in the next place that God has for you. But starting in verse 9, this is just real, always an encouraging verse to me. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, we are speaking in this way. Good encouragement, there's always better things concerning us, right? There's just always more. Everything that accompanies salvation, there's always a more clause to it. There's just always better things concerning us, right? That's the reason the Lord never lets us just stay in one place. Because if you stay in one place, you're not going to get to experience the better things concerning you, okay? And two, always remember the principle which we hear all the time, you can't really stay in one place, because if you're not moving forward, you're going backwards, right? In your walk with the Lord. For God is not unjust as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, and having ministered and still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, so to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Okay, really encouraging verse 2 here, is that the full assurance is, in just simple terms, is everything that's been promised to you. Okay? Diligence is what gets us there. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. So diligence, going after the things of God, is a really good thing to have. Proverbs tells us that. You know, it's this like gift from God, is this diligence that we have in going after everything that has been promised to us. Okay? Then it says that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, he swore he could swear by no one greater, and he swore by himself, surely I will bless you and I will multiply you. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. We hear that all the time, right? Okay? But this scripture here says, do not be sluggish, okay? That really comes from a Greek word. We think of sluggish, you know, which can mean lethargic and slothful, but actually that word actually means dull. It's like a blade that becomes really dull and blunt. So what happens when we get these promises from God, just like Abraham did, we can become dull and blunt in our pursuit of those promises that God has for us. Okay? And you know, anything, a knife or a sword, anything that's dull and blunt is just not going to cut through, right? So when we become sluggish, we come to a time in our life where we're just not cutting through. You know, we just like Abraham, there's a time in Abraham's life where he just kind of clicked with him, you know, kind of the last year of his life or the 20 years that he's promised. Things just started clicking with him. And he began to believe, you know what God has promised, God is going to perform. And I'm going to diligently wait on the Lord, pursue him and seek him, until I see the fulfillment of the promise, okay? When that attitude becomes yours, then all of a sudden, you're not dull anymore. And God will so arrange your life and my life, as he's doing with me now, to make us seek him more diligently. Because I don't know if you're like me, but I can get dull pretty quick. You know, I don't keep the blade sharpened all the time. I don't know, I'm not always letting the Lord put that grinding stone there and, you know, sharpen that blade. And it happens to all of us, y'all. We get in a place where we're dull, we become dull of hearing, and are waiting patiently on God instead of just daily crying out for those things that God spoke to us in our life, seeking him with all of our heart, you know, just standing and believing. We become dull and we become complacent in the things of God. That's where these guys were. In the book of Hebrews, when he wrote to these Hebrews, these were of course Jewish Christians who were wavering in their belief, waffling, many of them. They were fixing out. Some of them were headed back toward Judaism. You know, they had tasted of the good things of Christ, but when persecutions and stuff like that rose, they wanted to go back. You know, like they wanted to go back to Egypt. When they were delivered out of Egypt, they wanted to go back. You think, why in the world would you want to go back there? You know, at least it was comfortable there. And they were also wavering. A lot of the believers were wavering in unbelief. Hebrews 3 and 4. You know, he was talking to them about the sin of unbelief and going in and getting everything that God has for you into the promised land, right? It's just a good example of that. So this is why he tells them, man, there are just such great things that God has for you. There's more. But to get that more, through faith and patience, you're going to inherit it. And the word patient is the word where we get perseverance and long-suffering from. Long-suffering. As we're waiting in God's waiting room, God just begins to deal with us and deal with our hearts and gets all the unbelief out of it. We've been talking a lot about that, right? So as we're patiently waiting, God does this cool thing within us. He just purifies us while we're waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. Because if, as we read on in a minute, there's just two unchangeable things about God. One, he wants everything for you to experience everything in Christ more than you want it. He wants it more. And two, God can't lie. That's what it says in here. Two unchangeable things about God. His purposes, he wants it more than you do, and he can't lie. So he really wants you to have everything that he has for you in this life. Right? Everything that you have in Christ. But what he wants, he's pushing us toward, is the faith and patience that inherits those things. Okay? What happens to us, if it happens to anything like you, in the midst of the battle, and waiting for the promise to be fulfilled, that's where we get blunt and dull. Right? And we just got to thank God that he loves us so much that he just lets life circumstances pressure us to the point. Like I always tell people in our Bible studies, like, I don't know if you ever did this with a watermelon. You take the watermelon seed and you squeeze it, you know, and you shoot them out, shoot them at each other. We used to do that as kids. Well, the Lord will just do that in your life. If you're that watermelon seed and you're in his hand, he'll just put that pressure on you, you know, to shoot you to a new place in him. Right? So through faith and patience, he made this promise to Abraham. Through faith and patience, we inherit these promises. And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by no one greater than themselves, and with them an oath is given as confirmation. In the same way, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose, which are us, interposed with an oath, in order that two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge and laying hold of the hope that is set before us. And this laying hold of hope, earlier it used the word obtain, means that you just happen upon it. You're just going about life. You're seeking the Lord. You're praying about everything that he's promised you. You're declaring it. And then you just happen upon it. Suddenly, it happens. Your suddenlies are upon you. Okay? That's what it looks like with just faith and patience. You're believing that God's going to do it because he said it. He's not a liar, right? But you have a responsibility in that. Okay? To wait on the Lord, which means to long for him, to seek him, to believe him until you see it happen. Okay? That'll keep you sharp. That'll keep your edge sharp. It'll keep you from being dull in your response to what God is doing. I know that some things in my life haven't been fulfilled that God has promised because of me. You follow me? In Isaiah 32, he was just sharing with me the other day, there are three times that he's talking to, just metaphorically, the people of Israel and the women. And three times he says, "O complacent daughters, O complacent daughters." You know, and it was like the word of put sackcloth on, strip undress, which means to repent. And it says, until the Spirit is poured out from on high. Okay? They had become complacent in their relationship with God. It happens to all of us. There are places in our heart that becomes complacent, okay? Thank God that He gives us opportunity to always confront that complacency, right? Remember, the soul of the diligence made fat, right? So He will do that. We know that. He'll do that in our lives. He's just using some certain things in my life now to rise up. And that was a word to me. Craig, you've become complacent, you know? Remember the things I spoke to you? This is our conversation. Yeah, Lord. You're complacent in them, you know? And literally, I was in my office. Literally, I got up out of my chair, you know, started walking around my office and just started declaring some of these things. Speaking over them, declaring them. God, you said. God, you promised. You said this. So now, release it in Jesus' name. Okay? And like, within hours, a couple of things I'd pray for happened. Right? You see? That was just my... Yours may look a little different, but that was for me, that was through faith and patience. That's what it looks like. Waiting doesn't mean I'm just sitting there looking at my clock, you know, waiting on God to do something. Waiting means, that word actually means longing for, anticipating. You're just on the edge of your seat waiting for someone to come through that door. You just can't, you know, here they come, I can see, you know, that's what that word means. And through that faith, trusting God, like Abraham said, what God said He was going to perform, and now I'm just going to wait. I'm just like on the edge of my seat until He does it. That's how you inherit your promises. Okay? Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.